Hallelujah. Everyone standing on your feet. I want to take you to two passages of scripture that I believe will help us to understand what God wants to speak to us this morning. Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts 16.
Acts 16. I want to pick this up at verse 16. Only for the sake of time, I promise to put it all in the proper context for you. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we jump so quick to the part we want to get to that we miss the meat. We miss the little nuggets that are in there to help you to accentuate the part you want to get to. Acts 16, Luke is writing from the experience of traveling with Paul. And he writes down here that it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, much profit. It was a profitable business. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." This is a very important point. "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Y'all missed it already. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors was open, and everyone's bands were loosed. If you'll indulge me for just a few more minutes, just quickly, Philippians, the first chapter, verse 6. Philippians 1, verse 6. Says this, being confident. Of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. For the next few moments, I want to preach to you from my subject titled, My Dream is My Map. My dream is my map. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this opportunity to hear from you, to receive from you. Without a word from you, God, how can we live? How can we know which way is straight? So speak to us, Father. A right now word. Awaken our spirits to receive what you have to say. Touch our hearts so it's open to it. Anoint our ears so that we can hear it clearly. Do something special in this place today, God. We don't want to leave like we came. We want to be changed by your power. So do what only you can do. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, if you agree, somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor real quick and say, live your dream, baby. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The Bible is an amazing book because if you would really drill down on the scripture, you would begin to have a clearer understanding and a clearer picture of what God really is intending to do in the lives of human beings. It is the Apostle Paul that we are trying to learn about in this particular moment, who has now come to the place in his ministry that he is about to embark on its full purpose and intent. It was Paul who was changed quite drastically through an encounter with God on the road to Damascus. And it was on this road that the Bible says that a light shined down from heaven and it blinded Paul so much so that it knocked him off of his horse. And he began to hear a voice that nobody else heard. In other words, he lost his sight and got insight. He began to hear the voice of God, and the voice of God began to say to him, Paul, why do you persecute me? Is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? In other words, he's saying to Paul, you're kicking yourself by denying who I am. You're hurting your own future and destiny by denying who I am, Paul. You're trying to serve me your way, but I would love for you to serve me my way. And if you can let go of what you had in mind, then you can get what I have for you. This conversation no one else hears, and it is Paul that begins to cry out and says, who are you? Who am I talking to? And he says, it is me, it is the Lord whom you persecute. And it was there that God would begin to give him instruction. And the instruction was in a dark place because his eyesight was taken from him. And he says, I want you to go down and I want you to go find a man, and he's going to help you get your sight back. And so Paul has to listen to the instruction. The individuals traveling with him have to escort him and aid him and help him and take him to a place that was not on his itinerary. In other words, the logistics have changed because the itinerary changed. I was on my way to Damascus to do what I believe I was called to do, and that was to cause trouble and to persecute individuals who were Christians. That was my job. And so I was trained to do it. I was trained to debate. I was trained to argue. Now God came in and disrupted my agenda completely and totally transformed my life in a moment that I had to now seek him to get my sight back. It is amazing to me that whenever God wants to use your life, it typically comes from getting you in trouble. Mm-hmm. In other words, God is a troublemaker. He's real good at it. He'll put you in a situation that you thought I cannot get out of, and then in the situation give you the instructions on how to get out of the situation that he put you in. In other words, he trains you in the insanity of obedience because you have no other option other than to trust him, because you don't know how you're going to get out of the trouble, because all of your resources and all of your wherewithal and acumen can't get it done. And so Paul has to trust God to get him out of the situation, and he does. God speaks to a man that's down in Jerusalem, and he tells him that this man is coming to receive his sight from him. And the man that God speaks to says, wait a second, I know you're not talking about the guy that's killing all the Christians, God. As a matter of fact, hello, I'm a Christian. I trust you. I believe in your name. And so God is bringing this meeting together, and the man helps Paul receive his sight. And after Paul receives his sight, the Bible says straight away, he went to preaching. In other words, he did not debate. He did not argue. He did not come to a place where he was saying, God, why me? That encounter on the road to Damascus totally transformed his thinking and shifted his entire life and trajectory, that he didn't mind his itinerary changing. He did not mind having a different trajectory and letting go of what he had in mind, which tells me he was already wrestling with the fact that he was doing something that he felt like it was not his purpose to do. And therefore, Paul would begin to go preaching. And in Paul's preaching, what he would do was go to the synagogues. He would go back to the Jews, because he was a Jew, and he would go back to the synagogue, the Jewish church, to try to convince everybody in the synagogue that Jesus was the way. But that was not his ministry, and that was not his purpose. It was simply his practice. But he did not have the ability to let go of his practice to step into his purpose. And so one night, the Bible tells us in Acts 16 that he wanted to go over to a certain country, but the Spirit of the Lord shut every door. He wanted to go over into over into Mysia. He wanted to go to Mysia. He wanted to go to all these places. He wanted to go preach the word of God in Asia. But the Bible says the Holy Ghost forbid it to happen. And so after that, he said, well, since that door is shut, I'll go to Mysia and I'll go some other places. And the Bible says, but the Spirit suffered them not. And so one door shuts. He says, no problem, I'll try to go over here. And another door shuts, and he says, oh Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Then all of a sudden, the Bible says that Paul has a dream. He has this vision of a man from Macedonia. It was a night vision. It was a dream at night that he sees this man crying out from Macedonia saying, come over here and help us. Y'all on here with me? Come over here and help us. And in the vision, he begins to see that this man is calling from a territory that was not on his itinerary. Once again, Paul has to let go of what he has in mind to receive what God has instead. And so the Bible says that once he saw the vision, once he saw the dream, then he had his roadmap.
Y'all not in here with me. Once he saw the dream, then he had his roadmap. What is a dream? What is it to you and I? What is a dream to you and I to begin to understand that that's how sometimes God will begin to talk to us and speak to us and move us away from what we had in mind to step into what he has in mind. Look at your name and say, you're about to uncork your dream. You're about to uncork your dream. It was Victor Hugo who said, there is nothing like a dream to create the future. You have to understand that you and I are one of a kind. Nobody else has our fingerprint. Nobody else has our purpose. Nobody else has our distinction. You are one of a kind, and God puts something on the inside of you that has complete and total purpose in and of itself that nobody can do but you. There is a spot on this earth that has your name on it. There is a category in this world that has your fingerprint on it, waiting for you to show up and waiting for you to arrive. But in order to get there, you have to let go of what you had in mind. There's something encoded within you that is powerful, something no one else has. It stirs your heart every day, but you are afraid to go after it. You are afraid to go after it because you realize you are simmering with potential. You understand that you are poised to collide with opportunity, but it is the oppositions to that opportunity that cause you to say to yourself, maybe this is not for me. Somewhere on the inside, though, you can feel it deeply, and you understand that there's something that I'm supposed to be doing that I'm not doing. It wakes you up in the middle of the night. It occupies your dream space. It causes you to want to let go of everything and step into the unknown territory with boldness, but you are hindered by the past experiences that you have and the circumstances that you face in this very moment. Touch your neighbor and say, but you are about to uncork your dream. You're about to uncork your dream, because dreams sometimes get covered in the dust of disappointment of yesterday, and therefore you put it on the back burner and you say to yourself, that was yesterday. So much time has passed. It's not for me anymore. I got these bills. I got these kids. I got this circumstance. I got this situation, and I can't go there anymore. I came to awaken somebody's dream today to let you know the devil is an absolute liar. There is a reason why God put it down on the inside of you, and you are about to get your roadmap this morning. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I'm about to get my roadmap, baby. I'm about to get my first steps in a new life. I'm about to get my first instructions on how to get it done. I'm about to get my roadmap. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your past experiences, there are still infinite, infinite possibilities ahead. I'm going to say that again. As long as there is breath in your lungs, your dream can still come true. I'm going to say that again. As long as there is breath in your body, your dream can still come true. And if you don't believe that, then let me go ahead and do your eulogy right now. Baby, you're still alive, which means you still got a shot at it. Touch your neighbor real quick and say, are you still breathing? Then your dream is still breathing too. Oh, you don't hear me. You don't hear me. If you're still breathing, then oh, God. If you're still breathing, then your dream is still breathing too. Joseph was thrown in a pit, but his dream was down there with him. And it is often that we begin to look at our circumstances and our past experiences that we begin to believe it's over for us. It ain't over until God says it's over. And so what you have to come to do is learn how to listen to your dream. Listen to what God has been speaking to you in the night season. Listen to what the Lord has been whispering in your heart. Listen to your dream. The only way you're going to be able to listen to your dream is to be led by the Spirit, because the Spirit will begin to lead you places you thought you would never go. It will begin to take you places that is not on your itinerary, and it will shut doors that you have found in your heart, which is just, watch me now, which is only an interruption in the plan that you thought would never happen. So you chose a lesser plan. Y'all ain't said nothing, because you figured that the first one was never going to come to pass. So you decided to settle for less. And whenever you settle for less, you get less than what you settled for. Who am I talking to in this room? Therefore, you decide to deviate your own self because you thought it would never happen. Paul gets this vision after the doors have been shut on him to all the places he wants to go. Oh, God. And when he gets the vision, he listens to the dream and begins to prepare to go over to Macedonia. The Bible says he begins to make his preparations. After making his preparations, they set sail to go over to Macedonia. When they hit Macedonia, they go by the Ignatian Way. And when they hit the Ignatian Way, they walk to Philippi. Oh, God. And when they get to Philippi, Lord, I'm preaching better, y'all shouting. What you don't understand in this particular context is that we have to put ourselves in Paul's world and in Paul's mind, whose custom and practice and tradition was to go back, even though now he's received Christ and being used in the kingdom, his custom is to go find a synagogue to preach to. But that's not his purpose. His custom is to go back to where he knows and is familiar with. His custom, even though he was converted on this Damascus road, is to go back to his comfort zone. So he created a custom to go back to what was comfortable. Nothing significant will ever happen within the realm of where you're comfortable. Nothing worthwhile, nothing destiny driven will take place within the confines of your comfort zone. You're going to have to learn this one principle, that it is discomfort that is a key to your destiny. It is feeling uncomfortable and unsure and uncertain about the outcome that becomes the key to your dream becoming a reality. Oh, God. Paul is now walking in the vision that he saw. And in walking in the vision that he saw, he brings his reality into a vision that God gave him. And he is now seeking to go to a synagogue. But where God has him, there is no synagogue. Y'all not in here with me. He gets to Philippi, and because it is his custom and practice to go find a synagogue, God leads him by the Spirit to a place where there is no thing that makes him comfortable. There is no synagogue in Philippi, because Philippi is a Roman colony city full of Romans, and there are not enough Jewish men in Philippi to constitute a synagogue. Y'all ain't nothing. So what he finds on the Sabbath is a group of women down by the river worshiping, who were the nucleus of the Jewish embodiment there in Philippi, which were all women, and that's where he finds himself. So God leads him to a place where he's not comfortable. And in so doing, he goes down and says, well, I'm going to preach somewhere today. And he chooses, y'all not in here with me, he chooses to go ahead and preach anyway because he's listening to his dream. Even if you find yourself in a spot that's completely uncomfortable, you got to learn how to preach anyway and listen. Y'all not in here. And listen to your dream. Because why? God led me here. God led me to this spot, so I'm going to preach anyway. And he begins to preach the gospel by her, and he starts talking to a woman. Her name is Lydia. Lydia is the seller of purple cloth. She's a businesswoman, an entrepreneur, and she's down by the river. She's a Jewish woman who wants to worship Jesus Christ. And she listens to Paul, and she says, Paul, I got it. And she says to Paul, listen, since I got it, won't y'all come on back to my house, and let's fellowship, and I'll bless you, get you something to eat, all that good stuff. And Lydia does it, and Lydia becomes one of the first members of Paul's church in Philippi. See, what Paul doesn't understand is that God is making him the apostle to the Gentiles. Y'all ain't said nothing, but all he wants to do is go and talk to the Jewish folk. But every time he goes talk to the Jewish folk, y'all, God, I can't get help enough. God shuts the door. Why? Because your purpose is to the Gentiles. I'm taking you somewhere that nobody ever told to go before. Oh, slap your neighbor high five and say, God's taking you somewhere new. It's new territory. It's unconquered space. I wish I had somebody in here. All the good ideas aren't taken. God still got some ideas that nobody knows about. And God told me to tell somebody in this room, that's where he's taking you. Oh, God, I wish I had a church in here. If I did, they'd shout, I'm going somewhere new. I'm going to unconquered territory. I'm going to open space. It's like a blue sea strategy. Y'all ain't saying nothing. There's so much room out here for my gift and my anointing and my calling and my purpose that I ain't got to compete with nobody. God has got a space just for me. Lydia hooks them up. They leave Lydia's house in the morning, and he decides, well, shoot, since that work down by the water, I'm just going to start preaching in the streets. This is Paul's first missionary trip. This is the first time he's preaching in the streets, outside of the confines of his comfort zone. Oh, God, I'm preaching about y'all. And he's preaching in the streets. And as he's preaching in the streets, there's a woman that she's a diviner. She's a soothsayer. And she has owners. And she has the intuitive ability to step into the spiritual world. And through familiarity of spirits, she gets to predict the future. And it was a business for them. She was a fortune teller. You hear what I'm saying? She was a roots worker. Do you hear what I'm saying? And therefore, and as she's coming down, she recognizes who Paul and Silas are, because the enemy will always wake up when your purpose wakes up. Oh, y'all not in here with me. When you start walking in your purpose, it's when the enemy starts to try to tell everybody who you are. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. You don't hear. The enemy doesn't try to hide you. The enemy tries to expose you. He tries to tell everybody who you are so that if in case you ever mess up, y'all ain't said to nobody, there would be some type of accusation against who you are. But what he fails to understand is the power you have in who you are, because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Who am I talking to in this room? Yeah, your enemy woke up, but your spirit is already woke. And though they tried to stop you, you already woke. It doesn't bother Paul to stop, because the Bible says she did it for several days. And so Paul finally got frustrated and said, come out of her. And the spirit came out. Shut the whole business down. They shut the whole business down. And in shutting the whole business down, it became a problem. So the Bible says they were going to prayer when this happened. They were going to prayer when this happened. And her owners got upset that now she lost the power because now she became of a different spirit. Which then tells me she joins Paul's church. The enemy that tried to stop you is about to join you. That's why the Bible says, love your enemy. You ain't got to hate on them. Because they about to help you out. Lord have mercy. She becomes a member of his church. And now she telling everybody, I once was blind. Now I see. I was in the darkness, but I was brought into the marvelous light. Somebody came and snatched me from the fire. My sins was thrown as far as the east is from the west and put in the sea of forgetfulness. Now I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. And she's walking around telling everybody her testimony. And it's wrecking the enemy's business. I hear your Holy Ghost. Have you ever wondered why you're fought against so hard? The fight is not indicative of you not making it. The fight is indicative of the value you have to your purpose. If I can stop you before you get started without you realizing how valuable you are, then I've won. But if you ever get started, they ain't no stopping you. Touch your name and say, don't let the fight stop you. Don't let the fight stop you. All the fight should do is say, wait a second, why are you fighting me? There must be something on the inside of me that you are afraid of. I'm almost there. And so now, watch this. Watch this. She becomes a part of Paul's church. And in so becoming a part of Paul's church, she begins to testify. This all happened while they were going to prayer. And so the marketplace men went down, stepped to Paul, beat him up, took him to the magistrates, and said to them, these Jewish men are coming here, speaking words that are not a part of our custom and tradition. Oh, God, Lord have mercy. In other words, this is a Roman colony. This city is full of Roman soldiers who retired, and now they occupy Philippi. And their custom and tradition has nothing to do with godliness or Christendom or Judaism or anything like that. And so the magistrate says, okay, no problem. And they flog them and they beat them and then they put them in jail. And when they put them in jail, they tell the jailer, they said, listen, jailer, these men need to be guarded extremely well. So the jailer said, no problem. I'll put them in the inner prison. And then I will put their feet in the stocks so they won't move and they can't do anything. And that's how we're going to make sure they're all right. And the Bible says, while he's in this predicament, watch me now, midnight comes. And at midnight, which brings Paul back to his dream, because his dream is his roadmap. Because before midnight, he had to be in a position going, how did you lead me into this much trouble? I thought I saw a man crying out for help, and I thought I was supposed to be in this spot. So what do you do when your dream gets you in trouble? How do you react to God when the Spirit leads you somewhere that's outside of the confines of your comfort zone and all hell breaks loose against you and you begin to question, God, did you tell me to do this or not? Who am I talking to in this room? Because it's not turning out the way I thought it was supposed to turn out. Oh, y'all gonna try to play me up in here right now. You know you might be in a circumstance right now. You started a business. You stepped out on faith. You got married. Y'all ain't said nothing. And it ain't working out the way you thought it was gonna work out. And you knew the Lord told you. I know God told me. I know I saw this vision. I know this dream was my roadmap. I tried to go other places and the doors were shut. This was the door that opened up and I got over here and folks start converting it and coming to me. But now all of a sudden I'm in trouble. And what do you do when your vision gets you in trouble? The Bible says at midnight. Which brings me back to him on the shore getting a night vision of seeing the man, my God, calling to him at midnight. My God, the Bible says he prayed. He did not praise first. Come on, somebody. He prayed first. Why? Because my trouble happened when I was on my way to prayer. Y'all ain't said nothing to me. So my prayer in my prison lets the enemy know I'm still listening to my dream. Y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here. When I can pray in a state that I am incarcerated but still have peace enough to pray, it lets the devil know I'm still listening to my dream. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I'm still listening to my dream. I might be incarcerated by a circumstance. Bills might have incarcerated me. Divorce might have incarcerated me. But I'm still listening to my dream. Trouble might have got me off track. But I'm still listening to my dream. He prays first. He prays. Him and Silas are in there praying. Timothy and Luke are with them and they're outside the prison. They didn't get locked up. And they're inside praying. And as they're inside praying, the Bible says, then they broke out into a praise. And when they broke out into a praise, my God, the Bible says the praise broke the bands, not just on them, but on everybody that was around them. At 11:59, they were incarcerated. But at midnight, y'all ain't said nothing. They were set free. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, you're 1 minute away from a breakthrough. Y'all ain't in here with me. You're 1 minute away from every shackle falling off of your feet. I dare you give God 60 seconds of crazy praise and watch the shackles fall off. Fall off your family. Fall off your kids. Fall off your business. Fall off your marriage. I dare you for the next 60 seconds. You're 30 seconds away. I wish I had a church in here. You're 30 seconds away. You're 30 seconds away. Come on, 20 more seconds. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Lift your voice and watch it all fall off. 10 more seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're set free. Up. Somebody shout, I'm set free. Here's how I know he's free and not delivered. Deliverance is not freedom. Deliverance is preparation for freedom. You're free when you choose to stay. Everybody's bands were loose. And Paul didn't move and told everybody else, y'all chill out. The jailer comes and he's going to kill himself. He's going to throw himself on his sword. That's what the Bible says. Because the penalty for losing a prisoner is death. And so he says, I'm going to kill myself. And Paul shouts out, we're still here. Slap your neighbor and say, listen to your dream. Just because it puts you in prison don't mean it puts you out of purpose. Perhaps prison was a part of the purpose. Because the jailer needs ministry too. Paul says, we're still here. We ain't gone nowhere. And the jailer comes in and falls on his knees and says, what must I do to be saved? He picks Paul up and takes him back to his house. I wish I had somebody in here. And takes him to his house, and Paul ministers to his entire family, and the jailer and his family join Paul's church. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, you can't arrest my purpose, because if you put me in prison, my purpose will find me in prison. If you put me in a dungeon, my destiny will come down there and pull me out of the dungeon. You can't stop my purpose. Here's where I shouted. Here's where I shouted. Here's where I shouted. The jailer takes Paul back to prison. And I said to myself, how could that be? And I had to think for a second in Paul's mind. Paul has dual citizenship. Paul is a Roman and a Jew. And they arrested a Roman with no trial. So Paul understands, I am within my rights to question why you lock me up. You're not supposed to hold me. It is not legal to hold me. You have no authority to hold me. So Paul says, no, we're going back to the prison. And he asks the jailer to escort him back to the prison. When he gets to the prison, the Bible says at daybreak, oh, Lord, have mercy. Which means Paul's dream at night is now about to become a complete and total reality, because what he saw in the night, he's now about to experience in the day. At daybreak, my God, the magistrate says, come on, it's time for you to come out of the prison. And Paul said, wait a second, you arrested me privately, but then you're going to excuse me privately. I don't think so. You're going to apologize to everybody for locking me up. I'm not just going to break out, I'm going to walk out with my dignity and with my reputation and with the respect I'm supposed to. Slap your neighbor and say, this ain't no breakout, this a walkout. You ain't got a breakout or nothing, because when you know who you are, you can walk out of it when you choose to walk out of it. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, it's daybreak. Walk right out of that situation. Walk right out of that. They walked out. You ain't gonna have to run. You ain't gonna have to beg. You ain't gonna have to plead. You're just gonna walk right out of it. Because I got dual citizenship. I'm a citizen on earth and I'm a citizen in heaven. He walks out with a public apology. Why? Because if the enemy can't keep you incarcerated, your purpose and your dream incarcerated, it will incarcerate your reputation. And God says, no. You can't incarcerate their reputation, because I brought him here to build something. So Lydia, the seller of purple, the demon-possessed girl, and the jailer starts the church at Philippi. The businesswoman, the demon-possessed girl, and the government employee starts his church. So now Paul takes three missionary journeys, starts building churches all over Asia Minor, because God opened the door in Philippi. And now Paul is back in prison. And he writes from prison to the church that started in prison. I am confident of this one thing, that he that has begun a good work in you shall bring it to complete. I wish I had a church in here. Paul writes to the church who becomes the church of his, the church that supports him the most out of all the other churches, the one that was birthed from prison. Why? Because his life would end there. This is where he would write Ephesians and Philippians and Galatians. From prison, he would write the majority of his letters. And his dream started on his roadmap in his itinerary was to start in prison. Because God knew that in the end I would get you to Rome and they would put you in prison. And I would use you in prison to write letters to all of your churches that would spread the gospel exponentially in Rome. Because while he's writing, the Praetorian Guard is reading what he's writing. And they're getting the word down on the inside. Y'all ain't said nothing to me. And all of the Romans are starting to learn about Jesus. And it births the Christianity movement in the first century. Poof, from a man's prison cell. Listen to your dream. Stop listening to everybody else. Everybody else is going to tell you it's not possible. But I've learned that impossible is an invitation. There are places that God has purposed you to go. There are people that God has purposed you to impact. And if you don't listen, I had one point. Listen to your dream. That's the only point I gave you. Listen to your dream. What did God show you? What did he tell you? Listen to it. Even if it leads you into trouble. Even if it takes you somewhere. Go back to your dream. When your midnight comes, go back to your dream. Because God never puts you into something he doesn't give you the power to walk out of. Yeah. There are dreams all over this room. A dream fulfilled changes the atmosphere of life. Your dream is a snapshot of your future waiting for your arrival. Your future is not out there. Your future is in here. You carry it with you every day. The decisions that you make. And right now, in this room, there are dreams covered in dust. Your dreams might have been smashed from adverse experiences, smashed because you've been told so many times you're not good enough. I'm talking about God-given dreams. I'm not talking about
aspirations.
I aspire to play in the NBA, but I'm 44, 45. I don't even know how old I am. I used to aspire to play in the NBA. I was a phenomenal athlete, really was. Like, real talk. And that dream was smashed. And I thought that's all I was. See, that was an aspiration. But God always purposed me to do what I'm doing now. This wasn't plan B. This wasn't plan B. This was always what God had in mind when he created me. And it took me a long time to understand that. He gave me business acumen and giftings in business. And it took me a long time to understand why. Why? Because everything that God gives you is according to purpose. It's according to purpose. He doesn't give you anything that doesn't have purpose in your life. And you just got to learn how to use them. And the way you start is by listening to your dream. Your dream is your map. And there are chasms you're going to have to cross. And there are gaps you're going to have to navigate. There are going to be detours on that map. There are going to be delays on that map. There might be prisons on that map. But you still got to listen to your dream. There are going to be a lot of no's. There are going to be a lot of critics. There's going to be a ton of haters. A ton of haters. Lord Jesus. Yea, though I walk through the valley of haters, I shall fear no hate. God is about to blow a breath in the dust that was on your dream. It's going to blow away. Pick it up. God says, I'll take care of the dust. But I need you to pick it up. Pick up that dream. What did God tell you? It's not too late. As long as you got breath in your body. I look back over my life at how many things tried to stop me, how much stuff still tries to stop me. And I always come back to what God told me, what God showed me, listening to that dream. And for no, please, I'm not suggesting that it's easy. It's hard. It's hard to be in prison and pray and praise. It's hard to be in a troubling situation and say, God, I'm still going to listen to you. But if you can muster enough, just enough strength to do it, God can change your life. Come on, lift your hands right now, real quick, and let him just breathe on you. Come on. Father, I thank you for every person watching, every person in this room who've been defeated by disappointment, who have put their dream down and walked away from what they know to be true in their heart and their spirit. The reason why doors are shutting is because they're the wrong doors. You do have an open door. And it's a door that no man can shut. So, Father, I thank you that you would just breathe on these one time
And as you draw the breath of the Holy Spirit to come upon each and every person who've been frustrated, who's fatigued, who's walked away, who's quit, who's thrown in a towel, breathe on them right now. Fresh breath. Reinvigorate them. Revitalize them. Refresh them. Restore them. May we pick our dreams back up. May we go after the things that God has called us to do. Because we are confident of this one thing. He that has begun a good work in us shall complete it until the day of Christ. You never stop, God. You never stop running after us. You never stop coming for us. You never stop searching for us. You never stop working for us. You never stop. And so with lifted hands, we say, we'll forever praise you. We'll forever declare your name. Our ears are anointed to hear. We're going to listen to our dream. We're going to go after everything you told us to go after. And Father, I decree and declare right now, we're going to possess it. We're going to have it because our dream is our roadmap. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. If that bless you, go and lift up a shout of praise unto the Lord.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Come on, lift those hands. Receive the blessing of the Lord. I pray that word blessed you. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you. May he give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his precious blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Come on, hug two or three people and say, my dream is going to be real. God bless you. We love you.